This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by Healthy Aging, providing you with the unique energy support of Pure NT Factor. NT Factor is the only nutritional formula clinically proven to reduce fatigue, whatever the cause, whether it be age, illness, or just being run down. NT Factor from Nutritional Therapeutics repairs damaged cells and restores healthy bacteria in your digestive tract. Clinical trials have shown NT Factor reduces fatigue by almost half, and it even reverses some symptoms of aging. I've been taking NT Factor for years with a 45-day money-back guarantee of nothing to lose. To order, call 800-982-9158. That's 800-982-9158. Or go to ntfactor.com. That's ntfactor.com.
Welcome to Intelligent Medicine. This is Layla Mutin, your host. I'm a registered dietitian, a certified nutritionist and dietitian in the state of New York. I have, however, clients from all over the country. I do telephone consultations. If you're in the tri-state area and would like an appointment with me, please call the office, 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. And speak to Grimaldi. She handles my schedule, can tell you all about fees, etc. For those of you who are interested in various topics on this podcast that you'd like me to speak to, or any questions that you'd like me to answer concerning nutrition, health, you can email me to radioprogram@AOL.com. That's radioprogram@AOL.com. Well, it seems every other week there is some kind of research or study that either talks about the benefits of caffeine or the dangers of caffeine and all that. Well, let's talk a little bit about the dangerous effects of caffeine. And I think this is also in light of the fact that caffeine is the most psychoactive drug. And probably the most common one. Most people are drinking coffee, they're drinking tea, and of the Johnny Come Latelys are all the energy drinks, the Monster drinks, the Red Bulls, all of that kind of thing, which have come upon the scene over the last, oh, I guess, is it 15, 20 years yet that these drinks have been around? Certainly colas like Pepsi, Coke have caffeine. I know Mountain Dew, and I believe orange sodas have caffeine as well. So there's a featured article in internal medicine, in MedLinks, in internal medicine, the dangerous effects of caffeine. So let's dive in. Many people need their morning cup of joe to function, but is coffee really that safe for you? The benefits of coffee have been touted in research and include reducing the risks of cardiovascular disease, type 2 diabetes, and even Parkinson's disease. But other studies have shown that coffee and the caffeine it contains can have some bad effects as well. And just to give you a little stat, according to the FDA, daily caffeine intake in the United States is roughly 300 milligrams per person per day, which is equals about 2 to 4 cups of coffee. Although the investigators of several recent studies have concluded that caffeine can be beneficial, it may also produce negative effects, especially in excessive amounts. So, as I just said earlier, caffeine is said to be the world's most widely consumed psychoactive drug. According to the International Coffee Organization, the ICO, the International Coffee Organization, roughly 1.6 billion cups of coffee are consumed each day throughout the world. Wow. In the United States, the Food and Drug Administration has reported The daily caffeine intake is roughly around 300 milligrams per person per day. This is considered moderate. You know, those 2 to 4 cups of coffee that we're talking about, that this is considered moderate. Some of the more deleterious effects of excessive caffeine consumption can include the following. According to the Mayo Clinic, consumption of more than 500 to 600 milligrams a day of caffeine. Now, imagine 5 to 600. 300 milligrams is 2 to 4 cups of coffee. 5 to 600 milligrams is, you know, more like 6. Consumption of more than 5 to 600 milligrams per day of caffeine can cause insomnia, nervousness, restlessness, irritability, dyspepsia, increased heart rate, and muscle tremors. You may have experienced this yourself when you've had too many cups of coffee. It can also cause a little bit of ADD. This is just an aside from this article that I'm referring to, but you'll know when you've had too much coffee when you start getting distracted. For example, if you're trying to read the newspaper or a magazine article or a book even, you may find yourself reading the same sentence or the same paragraph over and over because you're not retaining it. That could be the effect of too much caffeine. It's like a self-induced ADD or ADHD. Caffeine can also raise blood pressure, and especially in hypertensives and those who do not usually consume caffeine. And if you remember, if you go to drhoffman.com at all and read the articles or subscribe to our newsletter, Intelligent Medicine, you will have seen my article on an Ask Layla series, Is My Caffeinated Iced Tea Raising My Blood Pressure? And the question was, I'll read it to you for those who haven't read it. I drink iced tea from morning until I go to bed at night. Does all that caffeine affect my blood pressure? Should I switch to decaf teas? Well, the answer is that caffeine is a stimulant and vasoconstrictor that can temporarily increase blood pressure even if you don't have high blood pressure. It's also thought that caffeine causes your adrenal glands to secrete more adrenaline, causing the subsequent increase in blood pressure. Some researchers have found that caffeine increases blood pressure through adenosine receptor inhibition blocking a hormone that keeps arteries dilated, along with the release of certain pertinent neurotransmitters. So, as it turns out, people who regularly drink caffeinated beverages, they're found to have a higher than average blood pressure than those who don't. So think about that. Over a population, that people who are regular drinkers of caffeinated beverages, on average, have a higher blood pressure. Consider that the next time you go to your doctor. Don't have your morning cup of Joe. Now, on the other hand, those who regularly drink coffees and teas develop a tolerance to the caffeine, which lowers its impact on blood pressure. These individuals are likely fast metabolizers of caffeine. Those folks, however, who are slow metabolizers of caffeine may present with high blood pressure after drinking a cup of Joe or iced tea or tea. For these people, it may be best to limit the amount of caffeine to less than 200 milligrams per day, which is about 2 8-ounce cups of coffee, or just switch to decaffeinated altogether. Now, when you do switch to decaf, please note that you want to make sure your decaf is made with a Swiss process or water process decaffeination. So on your decaf coffee, it should say water process decaffeination or Swiss process decaffeination, because you want to avoid the harmful chemicals used in regular decaffeination and some of the Byproducts of that may be something similar to formaldehyde, carcinogen. So the best way to tell if all that iced tea you're drinking is impacting you at all is to take your blood pressure before you drink your first glass, then again 30 minutes to 2 hours after. If it's higher, you're likely a slow metabolizer of caffeine, and you should consider switching to decaf iced tea altogether. And my advice to all of you visiting the doctor today or tomorrow or next week, skip that cup of Java to get a true blood pressure reading. Skip it. Don't have your morning coffee. Your doctor will tell you, yes, come in fasting. Don't eat breakfast, but it's okay if you have a cup of coffee. It's not. It's not. Drink water. Nothing else but water. Then you're truly fasting. Skip that cup of coffee altogether so you get a true blood pressure reading at your doctor's office. Because I'll tell you, I've encountered too many patients who come into our office and they're very dismayed because they've just received a prescription for blood pressure medication that could have been avoided. It could be avoided if you skip that espresso shot at Starbucks on your way to the doctor's office, or you skip that cup of Joe or your tall iced tea. So very, very important to skip that when you're going for a blood pressure reading. So young hypertensive adults who consume caffeine equivalent to 4 cups of coffee per day may be at a fourfold risk of heart attack. And even more moderate consumption may increase their risk of heart attack by threefold. Wow. Caffeine binges may increase the risk for a flare-up of gout. Those of you who have gout or have ever had a gout attack, you know how excruciating that is. You're likely taking a drug called allopurinol. You've been told to stay away from purines in the diet and alcohol and things like that. But did you know that gout is also very closely associated with insulin resistance? So if you've got a lot of insulin, cutting down on your carbs is beneficial to help reduce the gout. So, the risk also of fibrocystic breast disease may be slightly increased in women who drink up to 250 milligrams of caffeine a day. Those who drank over 500, we're talking more than 4-5 cups of coffee, 5 or 6 cups of coffee a day, had a 2.3-fold increase in the odds of developing cysts. We're talking about fibrocystic breast disease. If you have fibrocystic breast disease, you've probably been told by your doctor to avoid tea and chocolate and coffee that caffeine can cause or maybe exacerbate it. It's best to cut it out. Very beneficial for breast health? Iodine. Make sure there's some iodine in your multi. Or maybe you're going to take a few hundred micrograms. It's micrograms of iodine to help with fibrocystic breasts. Women who consume a lot of caffeine are 70% more likely to develop incontinence. That's interesting. Because those women who consume caffeine, many also have urinary urgency. You know, gotta go, gotta go, gotta go right now. Remember that ad? Detrol LA, I think is the name of it. For urinary urgency. So it's interesting, or it stands to reason, that women who consume a lot of caffeine are 70% more likely to develop incontinence. That urgency to go at one point may give way. Cough. Sneeze. For some of you, blink. Okay. Now, I'll tell you, I've experienced firsthand in my office when I've told women to stop all the caffeine when they complained of urinary urgency, you know, to stop the caffeine, whether it's tea, coffee, iced tea, colas, sodas, anything containing caffeine, it is life-altering, how that urinary urgency disappears. It disappears. It's no longer there. And for those of you who have incontinence or are on the way to developing incontinence, don't forget to do your Kegel exercises. I'm veering off from the topic of coffee being dangerous a little bit, but I think this is pertinent and I think you'd want to hear it. Do your Kegel exercises. You know, just like we exercise the muscles in the rest of our body, right? We work out, resistance train. When we do cardio, we're exercising our heart muscle, our lungs, right? Those pelvic floor muscles need exercise too. So holding that in, that retention exercise, holding it in, letting it go, holding it in for several seconds, letting it go. Do those exercises. It can help with incontinence. Getting back to coffee, heavy caffeine intake may increase the risk of bone fractures because it interferes with ossification, the development of that bone matrix. That's what we're talking about. Heavy caffeine intake may increase the risk of bone fractures. Too much of that can actually cause leaching of calcium, because remember, caffeine is also dehydrating. And when we're dehydrating, we're losing calcium, we're losing magnesium, we're losing potassium, we're losing sodium. These are the electrolytes. Calcium, magnesium, potassium, sodium. Yes, sodium. We could not live without it. Not the sodium in your sliced bread or your corn chips, but naturally occurring sodium in your food. Investigators from the Mayo Clinic found that men who drank more than 4 cups of coffee per day had a 21% increased risk of all-cause mortality compared with non-coffee drinkers. They also found that men and women who consumed excess amounts of coffee were more likely to smoke and be in poor physical condition. Oh yeah, you smokers out there, it is likely, because coffee and a cigarette are lovers. A cup of coffee and a cigarette, they are lovers. Just like an alcoholic beverage and a cigarette are lovers. You may have to give up that coffee if you associate it to having a cigarette. This is true. For all of you smokers out there who are having trouble quitting, I invite you to think about, to contemplate all the trigger foods or beverages in your life that bring you to lighting up a cigarette. A cup of coffee is one of them. A cup of tea is one of them. Absolutely. So it's not strange that they found that men and women who consume excessive amounts of coffee were more likely to smoke and be in poor physical condition. If you're going to smoke, you're likely going to be in poor physical condition. Because if you're a smoker, you're likely not an exerciser, or not, at least you're not a great exerciser, if exerciser at all. So, in light of the research, perhaps the old adage, everything in moderation, would be the wisest approach to caffeine intake. It may be. The cause and effect, get this, there may be a caffeine epilepsy link. The cause and effect relationship between caffeine and epileptic seizures has long been debated, as have the pros and cons of caffeine consumption in general. Caffeine prevents drowsiness by blocking the action of adenosine, a drowsiness hormone, and simultaneously stimulates areas of the autonomic nervous system. Many Americans drink caffeine daily in the form of coffee, soda, and energy drinks. This includes 80% of those with epilepsy. Because caffeine stimulates brain activity, researchers have long sought to determine whether caffeine can trigger epileptic seizures. Most of the scientific research on caffeine and epilepsy has focused on adenosine, a hormone present in all the cells of the body. Epileptic seizures trigger a surge of adenosine, which leaves people groggy. Caffeine, however, interferes with adenosine while simultaneously stimulating areas of the autonomic nervous system, making people more alert. Okay, in other research, investigators have indicated that precipitating factors and not caffeine may be to blame for the seizures. Such factors include missing a dose of medication. Oh, absolutely, that will do it. If you're on anti-seizure medication, it is imperative, it is critical that you dose yourself properly and at the same time every day. So, such factors include missing a dose of medication, drinking alcohol, and not getting enough sleep. Because these may be precipitating factors that can bring on a seizure. It is only in the presence of one or more precipitating factors that the addition of caffeine may increase seizure risk in epileptic individuals. Meaning, if you're missing your medication, if you're drinking alcohol, if you're not getting enough sleep, adding caffeine into this bucket is going to be the straw that breaks the camel's back, is going to be the tipping point, is going to be tipping you over that fence into a seizure. An often cited study on the topic was conducted in 2013 by Samsonson et al., who found no strong relationship between caffeine consumption and risk of seizure. In a more recent systematic review in this year, however, Van Kort et al. Found that while clinical studies on the link between seizures and caffeine were rare, there was a suggestion in preclinical studies that caffeine did increase seizure susceptibility. In some cases, however, it was protective. These researchers also found evidence that caffeine seems to lower the efficacy of several drugs, especially topiramate in animal models. They concluded that caffeine intake should be carefully considered in patients with epilepsy who are trying to achieve and maintain control of their seizures. But again, many variables may come into play, especially with coffee. The liver and body's metabolism may play a role. Even sugar and cream levels in a cup of coffee may have an effect. Larger variables can even include the geographic area in which the coffee drinking occurred, the level of roast, and chemistry of the drink. Wow, these could be a lot of confounders, right? And I want to also alert everybody and remind those I've already told, those of you who are taking thyroid replacement, whether you're on Synthroid, Cytomel, Armour Thyroid, Thyrolar, Levothyroxine, you must take your thyroid medicine with water only, and you must wait one full hour before you have a cup of coffee or tea or any caffeinated beverage. It may interfere with your thyroid medicine. This is in the latest research. Please keep that in mind. I want to thank you for joining me on another edition of Layla Weighs In here on Intelligent Medicine. This is Layla Mudin, RD. I see patients regularly along with Dr. Hoffman. If you require a nutrition consult with me but live out of town, there's no need to travel to New York City. I have telephone consultations with clients from all over the country. Please visit drhoffman.com for more information. And to set up an appointment, call 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. I look forward to being a collaborator in your healthcare.